I want you to hold your Bible this morning and say, this is my Bible. I am what it says I am. I have what it says I have. And I can do what it says I can do. My mind is alert. My heart is open to receive truth from God. Amen. All right. It doesn't hurt to see something once in a while. Amen. We want to stay alert. We want to be sure we're awake. All right. Because we're learning something here. We've been talking about faith. How many of you know where we are? Amen. What have we said so far? We're talking about the ABCs of faith. That means the basics. Just the basics. We've gone back to the basics. Every now and then, how many know when they, get into a sport or something like that, there are times every season they start out and they go back to the basics, right? What do? They start, maybe if you're in hockey, they got you skating sprints all across the rink. They got you moving your feet. They got you getting ready, you know. Then they'll say, okay, now let's get your puck and you practice and you get ready. Amen. They get the basics down first, right? And then they start playing, making plays. You know, so we're here, we're getting our basics down. We're making sure we understand faith. A was, what is faith? How many remember what faith is from our message? Well, we said that faith was a firm persuasion. Okay? It's part of what we are. And if we look into Romans chapter 4, you know, we saw that Abraham was fully convinced, fully persuaded. Let's turn to Romans 4 for a minute. Romans 4:18 said, who against hope, talking about Abraham, believed in hope that he might become the father of many nations, according to that which was spoken, so shall thy seed be. Being not weak in faith, he considered not his own body now dead when he was about 100 years old, neither yet the deadness of Sarah's womb. He staggered not at the promise of God through unbelief, but was strong in faith, giving glory to God. Verse 21 says, and be fully persuaded, or your scripture may say fully convinced, that what he had promised he was able to perform. So we see here that Abraham was what? Fully persuaded. He had a firm persuasion. He was convinced that what God had promised he was able to do. He can bring me a child. Now, he didn't start out there. He said he didn't start out just one, you know, he went back. He was first, when he first heard from God back in Genesis, yeah. That's where it is. Hallelujah. Let me go back there just for a minute. Let's look at that. Genesis, chapter 12. Let's go there for a minute. I'm just going to say a few things here and then we'll move on. But in Genesis 12, actually 13, you know, but 12 there, we see where God called Abraham, okay? And he said what he's going to do. 12:2 says this, God said, and I will make you a great nation, and I will bless you, and make your name great, and you shall be a blessing. Now here he said, I'm going to make your name great, and you're going to be a blessing, Abraham. He didn't tell him he's going to have a child here specifically, but he hinted toward that, didn't he? Amen. Hallelujah. And we see what God did. If we turn over to chapter 13, verse 2 says this, and Abraham was very rich in cattle, in silver, and in gold. And verse 6, if we jump down to verse 6 of chapter 13, says, and the land was not able to bear them, that they might dwell together, him and Lot, talking about Abraham and Lot, for their substance was so great so that they could not dwell together. And we remember that Abraham then says to Lot, you choose which way you'll go. Because God's already promised me he's going to bless me. He did bless me. He's blessed both of us. Now they're going to have to, I mean, there's so much, he says, and there's a little bit of strife between my herdsmen and yours. You know, they're arguing over things. Let's not have that in the family. We don't want any strife here. You just choose what you want. So Lot takes the good land, leaves Abraham what we would consider not so good. But the Lord said to Abraham, verse 14, after that Lot was separated from him, lift up now your eyes and look from the place where thou art, northward and southward, eastward and westward, for all the land which you see. To thee will I give it, and to thy seed forever. And to thy seed forever. At this time, does Abraham have any seed? Not yet. Not yet. He says in verse 17, arise, walk through the land in the length of it and in the breadth of it, for I will give it unto thee. God made his promise to Abraham. Amen. Now he's going to bless him. And Abraham began to realize, hey, God's blessing me. Hallelujah. And he does want to have a child. And of course, he and Sarah have their idea whether they're going to have a child or not. Sarah decides to let him have her servant, her maid, and they have the Ishmael. And didn't work out so well. God said, nope, that's not going to be the promise. He's not going to be the promise. Abraham said, yes, but he's here. Let him live before you, Lord. Can't you bless? No, I can't. It must be the child of promise. Why? Because God was sending his promise. Amen. He was saying, I'm going to send my son. He's going to be of the promise. Hallelujah. My promise to you. So in the same way, hallelujah. And we see in Genesis 15:4, God says, and behold, the word of the Lord came to him, to Abram, hallelujah, saying, this shall not be thine heir, but he that shall come forth out of thine own bowels shall be thine heir. Hallelujah. He's saying, not this one, but the one that's coming from Sarah. You and Sarah are going to have that child. We'll come back here in just a little bit. Because we've been talking about faith. Now we see that Abraham had some experience here. He had a little bit of knowledge from God. And we talked about that faith comes what? By hearing, and hearing by the word of God. That is number, the second part, or B. And we said, how do I know if I have faith? First of all, we've got to recognize it, right? We realize faith is being firmly persuaded. It is a conviction based on what I have heard from the Word of God. I am sure this is what God has said. I have heard and I have chosen to believe that God's Word is true. I've accepted it as truth. Therefore, faith has come. Say, well, I've got faith. Okay. Well, we said that faith or believing in faith is the same thing. And we talked a little bit about how our beliefs formed. See, faith is based upon knowledge. It's not knowledge. Faith is not knowledge. But it is based upon knowledge, okay? It's knowledge of what God has said, number one. Abraham had some knowledge of what God had said. I'm going to bless you. I'm going to make you a blessing. Leave your home and go to the land that I'm going to show you, and I'm going to bless you. I'm going to cause the blessings to come upon you and to your seed. And that was the first hint that Abraham had, oh, I'm going to have some seed. In other words, we're going to have some children after all. He and Sarah could never have children. Now, Abraham's already 75. You know, of course, in the Bible times, it's not all that old, you know. It might be when they started having kids a lot of times. Sometimes they're, you know, oh, he was 135 and begat sons and daughters. And you're like, wow. Whew. Praise the Lord. At least he had a little more experience in life. Amen. Glory to God. But God began to bless him. And so he had some knowledge of some things. He had knowledge of what God had said, number one. Secondly, what we want to have is not just knowledge, but we want to have knowledge of the character of God, of who God is. See, the reliability of the one who said it. Amen? All right, it's good to have knowledge. We have to have that. So faith is based upon two kinds of knowledge. Knowledge of what God has said and knowledge of the faithfulness of God or the reliability of God who has said it. The person that says those things. Now, I mean, is there anybody in here? You ever had anybody? You know somebody. Maybe somebody you work with. They're always saying something, but they never do it. They said, well, I'm going to do this, or I'm going to do that, and it never happens. And you realize they're not going to do it. It's not going to happen. That's just who they are. Everybody knows. Oh, that's just so-and-so. They're just saying something. And that's okay. Because we recognize they're not what? They're not reliable. You can't rely on their word, right? But we're talking about God Almighty. See, we're talking about the Father of our spirit. The one that we have been birthed by. The one that has given us the promise, who is what? Faithful. How many of you know God is a faithful God? Amen? And so our faith has to be based on not just knowledge itself, but knowledge of who God is. See, when you know God, there's a different type of knowledge than when you just know what He said. You can know all the promises of God. But if we do not believe that He's going to do them, then what do we have? You've got knowledge with no faith. We have to have knowledge also of the reliability of God who has promised, the faithfulness of God. Amen. And when we come to places in our life when sometimes it seems our faith is weak, it is good for us to realize, what do we say? We don't say, oh, God promised me. No, we know He promised me. We say, God is faithful. Why? Because we believe that He's working. We believe that what He said is coming to pass. And that's what Abraham and Sarah had to do. They had to come to a place where they believed that what God has said is going to happen. So faith depends on our knowledge of God's character as well as knowing what His promise is. Amen? Everybody say two kinds of knowledge. Number one, the knowledge of what God has promised and the knowledge of who He is. Amen. Those are two different things because really, well, I mean, they're all knowledge, but it is an experiential knowledge. When you get to know God, when you begin to spend time with Him, how many know that you can talk people, you know, you were, maybe you heard of salvation before, but how many know it's different when you experience that salvation? Amen. Maybe you saw somebody else was saved and they're trying to talk to you and you're like, I don't understand it, you know. Maybe even you went to church once or twice, and didn't mean much to you. Man, I don't know what they're doing, but then God's tugged on your heart. He touched you and you received Jesus and you begin to understand. Yeah, He's my Savior. He cleansed me. I feel lighter. I don't understand it all, but I know that God's real. Why? Because He witnessed with your spirit that you became that child of God. Hallelujah. Amen. Glory to God. There's a difference between just seeing, but we know. And we know that that is how we form our beliefs. It's through an accumulation, we said, of knowledge. When we hear what God has said, then there is a knowledge and faith comes and we can believe. We can have faith in what God has said. Hallelujah. I mean, that's really, it's really that simple. It's not that complicated. Amen. You say, well, where is that in the Bible? Well, if you remember, let's look at Acts 4 real quick. I'm going to give us a couple of examples here out of Acts where they heard the word of God. See, knowledge precedes believing. It always does. Hallelujah. Acts chapter 4. Let's read 1 through 4 and see what we see here. Acts chapter 4. And as they spake unto the people, the priests and the captain of the temple and the Sadducees came upon them, being grieved that they taught the people and preached through Jesus the resurrection from the dead. And they laid hands on them and put them in hold into the next day, for it was now eventide. Howbeit, many of them which heard the word believed, and the number of the men was about 5,000. So here we see that some of the religious leaders, the priests, the captains of the temple, the Sadducees, they're upset because they're telling the people about the resurrection of Jesus. How many want to hear the resurrection of Jesus and think we should preach the resurrection of Jesus? Amen. That's what brings salvation, right? We know that he was died, that he was buried, but he rose from the dead. Hallelujah. And they were preaching, and it says, many of them which heard, believed. They heard and they believed. The hearing came before what? The believing. And we're talking about our beliefs and our faith. It is formed by an accumulation of knowledge. They begin to hear. They begin to see. Oh, Jesus was raised. They probably talked to him. Yes, he's been seen by many. He was seen by 500. He was saw by other the disciples. We know that he's been raised. Hallelujah. And they believed. So we have evidence from the word of God. See, when we hear, hearing produces that faith. But accumulation, see, we accumulate knowledge from the word of God when we hear. That's why it's good to come to church, right? To hear the word of God. Why? Because in hearing, our faith is strengthened. Our faith and our beliefs are formed. We begin to understand. You say, oh, I see now that, hey, if I hear, faith will come. And if I continue to hear, that faith will be sustained, as in, like we said in Romans 4, where Abraham was fully persuaded. Hallelujah. And so knowledge of what God has said is not all that we need. We need more than just that promise. Amen. We need that promise. But there's those, the other depends on our knowledge of God's character, who he is. Do you know who he is? First of all, we ask ourselves, have I heard? Amen. Have I accepted his truth, what I've heard? Yes, I have. Then faith come in me. But do I know who he is? Who God is? Amen. All right, let's look at, there's something that we need to remember, and that God is faithful. Hebrews 11. 11. I want to go there for a minute for a reason, because we're talking about Abraham and Sarah. We're going to go back there. Well, let's go back there first. Go to Genesis 17. Sorry. I want to put this down first, then it'll make more sense. Let's turn backwards. We were in 15, but let's go here to 17. And begin reading there, verse 1 Verse 17 says, "And when Abraham was 90 years old, the Lord appeared to Abram and said unto him, I am the Almighty God. Walk before me and be thou perfect. And I will make my covenant between me and thee and will multiply thee exceedingly. And Abraham fell on his face and God talked with him saying, As for me, behold, my covenant is with thee, and thou shalt be a father of many nations. Neither shall thy name any more be called Abram, but thy name shall be Abraham, for a father of many nations have I made thee. And I will make thee exceedingly fruitful, and I will make nations of thee, and kings shall come out of thee. And I will establish my covenant between me and thee, and thy seed after thee, and the generations for an everlasting covenant, to be a God unto thee, and to thy seed after thee." Hallelujah. And so we see here, let's go ahead and read one more verse. "And I will give unto thee and to thy seed after thee the land wherein thou art a stranger, all the land of Canaan, for an everlasting possession, and I will be their God." And in verse 15, if we drop down, he says, "And God said unto Abraham, As for Sarai thy wife, thou shalt not call her name Sarai, but Sarah shall be her name. And I will bless her and give thee a son also of her. Yea, I will bless her and she shall be a mother of nations. Kings of people shall be of her." Verse 17, "Then Abraham fell on his face and laughed." He and said in his heart, "Shall a child be born unto him that is 100 years old? And shall Sarah that is 90 years old bear?" So he's thinking in his heart. He didn't say it out loud, but he said it in his heart. He laughed. He's thinking to himself, how can this be? What is he doing? He's doing what we all do when we first hear things. He's looking with his natural mind, isn't he? He's looking at his own body. He's looking at things through the natural lens of mankind, and it does not look possible. Abraham, not only have we never had a son or daughter, we're old, Lord. We're not young anymore. He said, I'm 100 or 99, you know, practically 100. Sarah's 90 years old. Lord, it does not look good, and he laughed. And he says to God, "Oh, that Ishmael might live before thee." And God said, "Sarah thy wife shall bear thee a son indeed. Thou shalt call his name Isaac, and I will establish my covenant with him for an everlasting covenant and with his seed after him." Okay, so we see here at first, Abraham's first response was not perfect, was it? You ever had something happen? Maybe something terrible has happened in your life and your first response was not great faith. Maybe it was laughter. Maybe it was, I don't see how it could happen. Why? Because we went through the natural process and we let what our mind think come to a certain conclusion. However, that's all right because that's what your mind is supposed to do. But how many know Abraham didn't stay with the thoughts of his mind? Somewhere along the line, he changed and he began to believe what God said without considering his own body. Because we read it there in Romans 4, he said he considered not his own body. Now, when we turn the page here, Genesis 18, verse 12, we see also, let's start in verse 9. "And they said unto him," Genesis 18:9, where is Sarah thy wife? And he said, "Behold, in the tent." And he said, "I will certainly return unto thee according to the time of life. And lo, Sarah your wife shall have a son." And Sarah heard it in the tent door, which was behind Abraham. Now Abraham and Sarah were old and well stricken in age, and it ceased to be with Sarah after the manner of women. Therefore, why? Because of what she thought with her mind, I can't have children anymore. I'm past the childbearing age. I'm 90 years old. Not looking good. Therefore, Sarah laughed within herself, saying, after I am waxed old, shall I have pleasure? My Lord being old also, which tells us something about Abraham. He wasn't such a hot rod anymore. And the Lord said to Abraham, wherefore did Sarah laugh, saying, shall I of a surety bear a child which am old? And he says, is anything too hard for the Lord? At the time appointed, I will return to thee according to the time of life, and Sarah shall have a son. Then Sarah denied, saying, I laugh not, for she was afraid. He said, oh no, but you did laugh. And the men arose from thence and looked toward Sodom, and Abraham went with them to bring them on the way. Okay, so here we see Abraham and Sarah both, when they first heard, how many have ever had a report that you heard and your first response was not great faith? As them, maybe you laughed and you thought, well, I don't know. I'm not sure this is possible. I don't know if I can, believe. Because they were believing as far as they know. See, they had to go back and say, wait a minute. Now, who said this? God said it. Was God faithful? Well, we see that God had already told Abraham, I'm going to bless you when I take you into this land. And God had blessed him more than once. He blessed him a lot. Said he was rich. Cattle, silver, gold. So rich that he had brought his nephew along and he was rich too. So you get people around you, your family be rich too. They'll get close to you. You know, money brings friends. The Bible says money brings friends around. Amen. How many of you know, everybody, they win the lottery and they got to sign that thing, on there. Oh, yes, I agree to let everybody, let them use my face or whatever that I won the lottery. So everybody knows if you win the lottery, see. Because they want to make it known, oh, it's possible. Chances are one in so many millions. I don't know what it is, but it's not very high, so. I don't even play the lottery, so I'm not going to win. Praise the Lord. I already won the lottery. I got my Father. Amen. He takes care of us. He'll make us very rich. Glory to God. Hallelujah. He knows how to do it. One word from heaven can change your whole destiny. Change your whole life. Change your whole circumstance. One word. Now here they laugh first, but they did something. Look over here in Hebrews 11:11. They changed because they began to hear the name. God gave Abraham what? A name, didn't he? Father of many nations or father of a multitude. Abraham, Sarah. Not Sarai, but she's Sarah. Amen. A mother. Someone that's going to be the mother of the nation. Glory to God. Hebrews 11:11 says this. Let's look at verse 8. It says, by faith, Abraham, when he was called to go out into a place which he could after receive for an inheritance, he obeyed. He went out not knowing where he went. By faith, he sojourned in the land of promise as in a strange country, dwelling in tabernacles with Isaac and Jacob, the heirs with him of the same promise. For he looked for a city which hath foundations, whose builder and maker is God. In verse 11, through faith also Sarah herself received strength to conceive seed and was delivered of a child when she was past age. Why? Because she judged him faithful who had promised. She got to thinking. See, she didn't stay in her natural mind. She says, wait a minute. Who promised me? Sometimes we need to think, who has promised me? Who has made this promise? It wasn't the preacher. He might have said it, but he's not the promiser, see? The preacher's not the promiser. God is the promiser. God is the one she looked at. She said, He is faithful who promised. He led us out of that place. I remember Abraham came and talked to me and he led us out and we got blessed. God was faithful to what he said. She remembered when Lot went one way, they went the other. God told Abraham at the time, but Abraham, he says, hey, you walk through the land, wherever you walk, I'll give it you. Wherever you can see, I'm going to give you this land. I don't know about you, but if you ever stood outside and when there's open country, you can see pretty far. You can walk pretty far. Amen. Abraham was blessed. And here Sarah herself received strength to conceive when she was past age. Why? Because she counted him faithful who had promised. And many times we may receive the knowledge of what God has said, the promise of God. But are we understanding who the promiser is? Are we recognizing that God is faithful? And sometimes, yes, we can recognize, you know, and see God's faithfulness in our own lives. But we can see right from the Word of God where He's been faithful, where He was faithful. He's not a man that He could lie. Amen? Hallelujah. I know I'm talking a little bit about the faithfulness of God, but it's very important that we understand He's not just a regular man. God's not just a person. He's God Almighty, the Creator of heaven and earth. He lives in the dimension beyond our dimension. He's looking down into time. He created time. He created your eye. He created the earth. He's the God that knows and the God that is able. Amen. Hallelujah. There is good news in the house today. Let's look back here at Hebrews 10 and verse number 23. Verse 23 says this, let us hold fast the profession or the confession of our faith without wavering, for He is faithful that promised. Did you know? Do you understand? See, when we talk about knowing God, it's more than knowing what He said. It's knowing who He is. There is an experiential knowledge that comes when we spend time with God as well. When we worship Him. When we know Him. When we begin to experience and say, oh, that's right. God's the Creator. Hallelujah. It's nothing for Him to create in me. Lord, create in me a new heart, David said. A clean heart. If He could forgive you of all of your sin, He can change you from darkness to light. Then whatever that thing is in your body that might need a little tweaking or a little change or renewed, one touch from Him. Because He's faithful who promised. He will do it. Amen. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Exodus chapter 34 verse 6. Exodus 34, 6. I'm going to read us a few scriptures here. I just want us to see that God is faithful. That promised. See, we can get a hold of a promise of God. And we need the promise of God. We must know what He said. Because apart from knowledge, we have no faith. We have no basis for faith. We cannot. It is impossible to believe until we what? Hear. Until we know. Or until we recognize. Everybody says, well, what about the deaf people? They can read. It's one way we hear. It's one way for knowledge to come is by reading. Or by hearing through their sign language or whatever. In whatever way we can hear the truth of the Word of God. Amen. Whether we read it or we hear it, we will see that God's Word, which is truth, it cannot lie. What did I say? Exodus 34, verse number 6 says this, and the Lord passed by before him, talking about Moses, and proclaimed the Lord God, merciful and gracious, long-suffering and abundant in goodness and truth. Do you see a little bit of the character of God here? Who is God? Who is He? He is God, merciful, gracious, long-suffering, abundant in goodness and truth. Hallelujah. This is who we serve. This is not just a God that's passing by. This is our Father who is gracious. Our Father who is willing. Our Father who loves us. Hallelujah. He is the one, the Lord who is merciful. He's gracious. Well, I don't know. I might have brought this on myself. I don't know if God will. He is merciful. He is merciful. 1 John 1:9, if we confess our sin, He is what? Faithful and just to forgive us of our sin and to cleanse you from all unrighteousness, making you what? Righteous before the Father and ready to receive whatever it is He has promised you. Hallelujah. Get yourself out of the way. Get over yourself and into Christ. Hallelujah. And see what He has done. For He made it almost impossible for us if we'll believe, if we'll accept as truth what He has said, if we'll take that promise, say, yes, I believe, Father, that You are good. You said You're gracious, Lord. You're merciful. You're long-suffering. Hallelujah. You're abundant in goodness. Woo! Hallelujah. Good news in the house today. He's got an abundance of goodness for you. He is the truth. Hallelujah. He cannot lie. Numbers 23:19. Hallelujah. I don't know if you've ever looked these up, but boy, I get excited. I know I'm going to try not to yell today. I just get so excited. Hallelujah. Because I know who He is. I begin to see who our Father is. Who our God is. He's not someone that's just slouching on the couch. He's not someone that doesn't care. He is a God of what? Love. We know that. Part of His character. He can't help Himself. He's in love with humans. Hallelujah. If God had a character flaw, that would be it. He's so in love with you. He can hardly help Himself. Hallelujah. Numbers 23:19. It says this, God is not a man that He should lie, neither the Son of Man that He should repent. Hath He said, and shall He not do it? Or hath He spoken, and shall He not make it good? That's the question. In other words, what is the answer? Yes, He has spoken it. Yes, He will make it good, because He cannot lie. It is impossible, hallelujah, for God to lie. Glory to God. He's not like man. He doesn't lie. He cannot lie. He is truth. What He said will come to pass. Glory to God forevermore. We can have confidence in the Word of God. Deuteronomy 31 verse 6 says, be strong and of good courage. Fear not, nor be afraid of them. For the Lord thy God, He it is that does go with thee. He will not fail thee nor forsake thee. Hallelujah. How many know if God's going with you? Amen. We can take courage. He's going to answer. Amen. When we have the truth of His Word and we recognize who He is. Let's go over to Psalm. Anybody ever read this Psalm before? Psalm 91. Ever read that? Hallelujah. It's very popular. I know that. But do we really look at what it's saying? Amen. That's my question today. Do we really look at it? Amen. Hallelujah. Psalm 91. I like this one. Anyway, let's read Psalm 91. It says, he that dwells in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. I will say of the Lord, He is my refuge, my fortress, my God. In Him will I trust. Surely He shall deliver thee from the snare of the fowler and from the noisome pestilence. He shall cover thee with His feathers, and under His wings shalt thou trust. His truth shall be thy shield and buckler. Thou shalt not be afraid of the terror by night, or the arrow that flies by day, or the pestilence that walks in darkness, nor of the destruction that wastes at noonday. Anybody hear those things going on right now? Amen. Hallelujah. 1,000 shall fall at thy side, 10,000 at thy right hand, but it shall not come nigh thee. Hallelujah. Only with thine eyes shalt thou behold and see the reward of the wicked, because Thou hast made the Lord, which is my refuge, even the Most High, thy habitation. There shall no evil befall thee, neither shall any plague come nigh thy dwelling. Well, I inoculate you right now against all the COVID in the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. No plague is going to come nigh our dwelling. He shall give his angels charge over thee to keep thee in all thy ways. They shall bear thee up in their hands, lest thou dash thy foot against the stone. You'll tread upon the serpent, the lion and the adder, the young lion and the dragon shalt thou trample under feet. Talking about the enemy. Amen. Hallelujah. We got a lot of enemies in the world today. The enemy is trying to come, but he can't win. We can trample him under our feet with the truth of what God has said, because we got a Father who cares for us. He's going to be faithful. Amen. Hallelujah. Because he said, thou shalt tread upon the lion, the adder, the young lion, and the dragon shalt thou trample under feet. Because he has set his love upon me, therefore will I deliver him. Anybody, have you set your love upon the Lord today? Have you set your love upon him? Amen. Hallelujah. He's going to deliver you. And I will set him on high because he has known my name. Anybody know the name of Jesus? We talked about that mighty name today. Amen. He is faithful. Glory to God. Hallelujah. He shall call upon me and I will answer him. I will be with him in trouble. I will deliver him and honor him. With long life will I satisfy him and show him my salvation. Hallelujah. Anybody in here ever been told you're not going to live long? Hallelujah. But you can have long life. Glory to God. Praise the Lord. We can call upon the Lord. He says, I will be with him in trouble. How many knows if the Lord is with us? Amen. He's with us forever. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Praise the Lord. Oh man, I could keep going here. We'll go, let's go one more. I want us to go over to John real quick. Let's go over to the New Testament for a minute. What did he say? John chapter 14. We could go there too, but we got a lot we could do here, but I'm just going to go one more scripture here. I believe we're getting the idea. God is faithful. Amen. Are you seeing when we count him faithful who promised? You may not start out perfect in your believing God, but you can transfer and not accept the thought of your brain and your natural mind. You can say, no, I'm going to receive God's word as truth. I'm going to count him faithful, that promise. And I will receive what God has promised me. Because I not only know what he said, but I know who he is. He's my God. He's my gracious God. He's my faithful God. He's my God of truth. He cannot lie. I am under the shadow of his wing. I don't have to fear because my God is what? He's with me. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Glory to God forever. Thank you, Jesus. Let's go to 14. John 14, 16 said, and I will pray the Father, and he shall give you another comforter, that he may abide with you forever. Hallelujah. God's not with me just for a minute. He's no longer just with me on occasion. He's with me forever. How many know? How many know God is the one that's on the inside of you? It says even the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive because it sees him not, neither knows him, but you know him. For he dwells with you and shall be in you. He said, I will not leave you comfortless, but I will come to you. One of the translations there could be comfortless or even as orphans or an orphan in the storm. He will not leave you, but he will said, I will come to you. Hallelujah. Glory to God forever. Praise God. Praise God that he's with us. Praise God that he is for us. Praise God that he is faithful. Amen. When we begin to see who our Father is, we begin to recognize that He is gracious, merciful, faithful. Hallelujah. That He cannot lie. He will do it. What is too hard for the Lord? He said to Abraham and Sarah, what's too hard for me? And they begin to get a clue. Oh, that's right. It's God. It's our God. It's the God that already prospered us. It's the God that's already delivered us. He's already saved us. He already comes. And He's going to live with me forever. Hallelujah. I got a comforter on the inside of me. I don't know about you, but I know that my God is able. That my God's faithful. That He's given me that name. And I've set my love on that name. Hallelujah. He's not going to let me down. Praise the Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Let's stand up. Hallelujah. Father, we thank You for Your word today. If there's anybody here today, just pray this prayer with me if you haven't been born again. Say, oh God, I believe that Jesus was raised from the dead. I confess Him as my Lord and as my Savior. I say, come into my heart and be my master and help me live for You. Amen and amen. It's that simple. If you can believe. Amen. If we accept what He said is truth, faith has come. If we'll realize and recognize two forms of knowledge that come to us, the knowledge of what God said and the knowledge that He is faithful, or who He is, His reliability, His faithfulness. Amen. Let's worship Him for a minute. Father, thank You for Your word, for Your truth, that You are a faithful God, that You never leave us. You live within us. You comfort us. You strengthen us. And You are faithful to perform what You have promised. We give You praise and glory for it. In Jesus' mighty name, amen and amen.